Morning. Today we are going back to Psalms, Psalm 100. And before you get there, as usual, I want to ask few questions. So how are you? How are you in Christ? How is your worship life? Are you able to worship Christ all throughout the week? If you are worshiping Christ, then you are well in Christ. And worshiping means we treasure Christ. We take pleasure in Christ. We seek Christ. We desire Christ. And then we acknowledge His goodness back to Him, praising Him, blessing His name. In all this, this is not a duty. This is the byproduct, or else it's a result of receiving His love, experiencing His goodness in our lives. We respond in worship. And it is out of joy. It's not out of duty. It's out of joy. And joy is key, is very important. If you remember in Deuteronomy 28:47, God said, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies." All that we have is from Lord. And if you are not thankful, if you are still grumbling, then it will result in chastisement, punishment. We should be joyful in the Lord for what we have. And worshippers, today actually we are going to look at the evangelism. And worshippers are good evangelists. Remember Paul, the evangelist from the New Testament, he said from 2 Corinthians 5:14, "The love of Christ compels me." It is the love of Christ. It's not his duty. It's not a burden on him. It is joy. "Far be it from me to boast in the flesh. I'll boast in the cross." He's full of love and joy for Christ. That is why he shares. Worshippers are good evangelists. And we'll see today from this psalm how the psalmist, as he enjoys goodness of God, he worships Him, he worships Lord, and then he invites everyone to worship. That's what evangelism is. As we receive goodness from the Lord, we call everyone to worship Him, to experience God's goodness. So psalmist, Psalm 100, he's filled with joy and thanksgiving and praises God from his heart. So I'm reading from ESV version, Psalm 100. "A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all the generations." A psalm of thanksgiving. You see, in verse 1, the psalmist is commanding, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord." And he says, "Serve the Lord." Verse 2, he says, "Come into His presence with joyful singing." He's filled with the joy. That is why he is evangelizing. He's calling everybody to the worship. And he's worshiping with gladness, because he experienced His goodness. He says in verse 3, he says, "Know that the Lord is good. He is the one who made us. We are His sheep of His pasture." And he says in verse 5, Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness is for generations. As he enjoyed God, he is inviting everyone to the worship. Worshippers are the evangelists. And we should worship God with gladness. As the psalmist evangelizes with gladness, we should also with gladness evangelize. If we ourselves are not enjoying God, we cannot invite. We'll be hypocrites. If you are a dad, if you are a mom, and if you personally don't enjoy God, and then you are trying to rub it on your children, you are being a hypocrite and you are being a hurdle for him in faith. We should personally enjoy, take pleasure in Christ, in God. But how does this happen? How will I get this joy? How can I cultivate this joy in myself? This we can't do by our own willpower, by doing some works outside. It is to deal with your heart, not with actions, not by making some strict rules. I'll wake up early in the morning, I'll read 5 hours daily Bible and then 5 hours prayer. I will not do this. No, not, by doing this, we won't be able to get the joy. When we experience God, when we know God, automatically the joy flows. You see, in verse 1 he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In Hebrew, it says like this, the joy the Lord caused is good, so sing with that joy. You know, it gives a meaning that Lord has caused the joy, you sing with that joy. The Lord causes joy. And verse 3 he explains, knowing that he is the creator, he is the shepherd, he cares for us. We should rejoice in the Lordship of Christ. So today we will see 2 practical, helpful steps that will help us in evangelism, to grow in evangelism. And the first step we see in verse 1, that is, rejoice under the Lordship of Christ. Rejoice under the Lordship of Christ. As I earlier mentioned, the verb here which says, make a joyful noise, is a strong command. And this joyful noise is because of the victory that the Lord has brought. And you know, this word shout joyfully, it was used in the context of when a king wins a battle, all the people of the nation will shout with triumph, oh, our king brought, you know, victory for us. This is the same shout. This is the same word that is used for kings. And even Ezra, if you remember, when the house of the Lord was rebuilt in Ezra chapter 3 verse 11, all the people, they sang praising, giving thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his loving kindness is upon Israel forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because of the foundation that the house of the Lord. When it's used in the context of God, people are full of enthusiasm for the God's rule and God's glory in their lives. They didn't have house of the Lord all the years when they are in slavery. Now they had the temple of the God so that they can worship God, they can listen to his word, they can submit to him. So they are very filled with enthusiasm and they are praising. This word has such a weight. Joyful. The victory that God has brought for us. God has brought victory for us. Let us joyfully make a shout. That's what psalmist is saying. And he says, rejoice but under the Lordship of Christ. He says, serve the Lord. Verse 2. And this serve is the same word that is used for slave. If there is no Lord, there is no slave. We are his people. Are you struggling in your life, Christian life, for joy? Maybe you are lacking Lordship of Christ. If you submit to Christ, joy automatically overflows. I am from a Christian background. I just want to share my salvation story. Yes. I was born and brought up in Christian family. I know about Jesus Christ. I know that I have to repent so that I have to go to heaven. But I never really liked it. But one point of time, I realized, no, I have to go to heaven. I might die at any point of time. So I'll just do the sinner's prayer. I'll take baptism. I'll change myself. And then I did. And I was serving in the church. I cleaned the church. I go faithfully for every meeting, thinking that I will be saved. I did all the things, but I never understood the beauty of the cross. When I read the scriptures, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. When he was in the Roman imprisonment dungeon, David, he's a king. He has everything. He says, my flesh is fainting for the Lord. I will go to Lord my exceeding joy. What is this? Joy in the Lord? Of course, I know joy in his gifts, but in himself, I don't really enjoy. And he says, I am holy, you be holy. Why should I be holy? You are holy. Okay, that's good for you. But why should I be holy? I love this. I had this battle, but I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But the joy is in the world, and heaven is in God's hand. I had a really bad time. What should I do? I prayed. Your word says, Psalm 16:11, at your presence there are fullness of joy, pleasures forever. I see world as so good. World is so good for me. I can't see the beauty of cross. I don't know why people are saying you are beautiful. Help me, Lord. That is the time I realized that I am not a Christian. I was in church, serving church, but I never enjoyed God. I never had delight for God. And then I opened Bible, not to get some righteousness. It's not a righteous act for me that day. I studied so that I can understand why he is so good. The Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, Christ, his name will be Jesus, because he himself saves his people from their sins. He himself will save. All my life I was thinking I should be good and righteous so that I can go to heaven. But no, he himself will save. That's so much of relax. It brought so much of free in my soul. And then I started reading again and again the Bible. And then I understood more and more how good God is, how sinful I am. Unless you understand that you are sinful person, you can't understand the beauty of cross, beauty of grace, the liberty that you have in forgiveness. We have to understand that we are sinful. And we have to understand that God is a God of forgiveness and he forgives everything freely. And when you understand that, you'll see the goodness of God. And then you'll grow in joy. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And you read verse 5. Verse 5 says this, let your gentle spirit be known to all. The Lord is near. And he connects this to evangelism. We should ourselves experience God and then worship him and then evangelize. If you think that Christian life is boring, you're wrong. It's full of joy. If you're struggling, ask God to show that. And we'll see two attributes of God that will help us to rejoice in the Lordship of Christ. And first one is that he is all-powerful creator. Verse 3 he says, Psalmist says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his people. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This know here is not a head knowledge. not knowing about Jesus. We know about Jesus, facts about Jesus. But do we know Jesus personally, as a person? That's the question. He is telling, experientially, know the Lord, that He is God in your life. Did you have any experience, something like that? Experiencing that He is true God? If you remember Mordecai, you know Mordecai from Esther? I was reading Esther this week, and then he's so encouraging. When Haman tries to destroy all the Jews, Mordecai, knowing that Esther is in king's palace, being queen, he goes to the help. And when Esther says, no, I can't go to king's palace now, I'll be killed. You know what Mordecai says? Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. For me, when I read that Esther, I thought Esther is only the hope now. Because she is in king's palace, maybe if Esther goes and talks to king, he might do something. But no, Mordecai's hope is in God. He says, Esther, you are thinking yourself? Never mind. If you are not going to talk to king, God will give deliverance for Israel from somewhere else. He has hope in the Lord. He sees God, his God as God, who is above all, sovereign. In your life, do you see God as God? I mean, we say Jesus is our God, but do you see? Do you walk in your life fearing God, knowing that He is above all, safely? He is a creator. You want to talk about His power? He is a creator. He created everything from nothing. He has all power. When you know that you are serving a Lord who is all power, you will worship. Isn't it the same with everyone now? Those who work for big companies, I mentioned many times, they boast. I work for PM. I work for CM. I'm right hand to PM, CM. I am DS, son of God. We should be joyful in this. You want to know the power of the Lord? In Genesis chapter 18 verse 14 says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have son. Sarah is a world woman, and God is promising that you will, Abraham, you will have a son next year. Is anything difficult to the Lord? Numbers 11:23. The Lord said to Moses, when in the wilderness, when they are thirsty, people are thirsty, waiting for water, and they're doubting God for food, this is what Lord said to Moses. Is Lord's power limited? Moses complains, Lord, 6 lakhs of people are here. They're asking for meat. What should I do? Should I kill all the cattle? Is it enough for them? Should I get all the fish from the sea? Is it enough for them? So he's just arguing with God, and God says, what? Is the Lord's power limited? Never doubt the power of the Lord, whether in salvation or anything else. That's what Jesus Christ said, Matthew 19:26. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with the people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We serve the Lord who is all powerful. And the second attribute of God that will help us to rejoice in the Lordship of Christ is that we serve a God who is all caring shepherd. He is a shepherd. He says, we are His people, sheep of His pasture. This His people is different. He is our creator. He made us. He owns us. We are accountable to Him. But His people, He mentions separately, making that He owns us. He bought us. We belong to Him. And He feeds us. We are His sheep of His pasture. He feeds. John chapter 10, last week we saw that John says, Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. And a good shepherd lays his life down. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us to all to fall on him. Isaiah 40:11, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and will carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nourishing ewes. I don't know what phase of life you are going through. Maybe Lord is far for you or close to you. Whatever you are thinking, if you think that because of the situations are going bad, if you think that God is not loving you, caring you, that's a lie from Satan. He cares for you. He laid his life, John chapter 10, 11, he laid his life. That much he loves us. He is a caring shepherd. My Lord is not just powerful, but he has care for me. That's why psalmist is joyful. We should also be. And the second principle that will help us to grow in evangelism is that we should delight in our intimacy with Christ. Delighting in intimacy with Christ. In verse 4 and 5 we see that. He says, psalmist, he says, enter his gate with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to his, bless his name. He is inside the temple and he is close to God. He is asking us to come. Enter his gate. Come inside. Come close to him. Draw yourself near to God. Enjoy his intimacy. And know, in verse 5 he says, know that the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness is for all generations. He is delighting in the intimacy with the Lord. He is already with the Lord. And is inviting. We should also be the same. We should have our intimate relation with Christ. And invite others. And why is he delighting? Because he is experiencing the Lord's goodness. In verse 5 he says, for the Lord is good. That is the first attribute of God that he is experiencing. That is goodness. What does it mean, that goodness of God? God is good. We all know that. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. We say that, right? But what does it mean when we say God is good? God's goodness. Remember any person saying the same thing in the Bible? Joseph. Remember? Joseph. Genesis chapter 50 verse 20 he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Life, your life might have struggles. You might not see sunshine. It doesn't mean that God is away. God brings good out of evil. My own personal life, when I joined PTS, the first day I remember, what did I get into? What is this? Is this a college? There are only two professors. What is this building? The building now we have is beautiful. Okay? The earlier one, Sankwal one, was horrible. Sorry to say this. But at least when I entered, because it's holidays, no one cleaned. And then first day I still remember sitting outside, weeping, Lord, what should I do? I told everybody that I'm going to do MD, why can't return? What should I do? Now I understand. This is good for me. Now I can read Bible and I can understand. I know how to study Bible. If I have left PTS, I wouldn't have been here preaching. I experienced God's goodness. I'm thankful to God. I don't know where you are. It might be dark right now, but God brings good out of it. Psalmist says in Psalm 31:19, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. He stored his goodness up for you, if you are a Christian. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Romans 8:28, Paul says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Everything is not good, but will work together for good. For those who love God, this is very important. For those who love God, for Christians. That is goodness of God. And the second attribute that psalmist enjoyed is that Lord's steadfast love is forever. His loving kindness. Loving kindness. As I earlier mentioned, if you remember, loving kindness doesn't mean that God is so nice. Loving kindness is used in the, again, in the context of war and battle. God conquers us with his love. Like grace in the New Testament. By grace we are saved. Even though when we are sinful, God overcomed us, conquered us. God's loving kindness is so powerful. I remember, I have a friend, not friend, brother, old. He has his wife who is bedridden, and he fights with her to feed her. She doesn't understand. She is bedridden and he has to feed her. So she doesn't eat, but he fights with her so that he might do good. His love, with his love, he fights all day. He takes care of her. That's how God takes her. We are sinful. We again and again rebel against God. Even then, God, out of his love, he forgives, and then again he helps us to come back to him. He shows our sin. He helps us to repent, and then he brings us to himself. That's his love. He conquers us with his love. Psalm 36:5 says, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to heaven. Your faithfulness reaches to skies. Lamentations 3:22, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Ephesians 2:8, this is what Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. God's loving kindness conquers us. And the third attribute that the psalmist experienced is that his faithfulness is for all the generations, generations to generations. What is faithfulness of God? What does it mean? God is faithful. He's faithful to his promises, right? If you remember Apostle Paul in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, he says, Christ will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God's faithfulness will help you to be in faith forever. It's not by your willpower you will sustain, you will persevere on this earth. It is God's faithfulness which is going to preserve you. He says, Christ will sustain you until the end. Because God is faithful, who you are called into his fellowship of his Son. God protects, preserves. He is the one who will take active step in preserving us. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, Paul says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. He is faithful even to those who are unthankful. Isn't it? In our lives, how many times we have been unfaithful to Lord, but God has been faithfully loving us. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, Paul says, faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass, our salvation. Psalm 92:1, he says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. This is really good practice. Meditating loving kindness in the morning will encourage us to spend the day in the Lord. And then in the night, remembering his faithfulness. That's what Psalmist is telling. When we know that the Lord we serve is a Lord who is all-powerful, all-caring shepherd, we will rejoice. And when we experience his goodness in our life, his loving kindness, his faithfulness, we will delight in our intimate relationship with him. And then we will be evangelists, good worshippers. To conclude, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus Christ commanded the Great Commission. Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Disciples make disciple. We are commanded to disciple others. And who disciple? Disciples disciple. We should be a disciple and we should disciple others. Disciples disciple. You may not be a pastor, but you are a pastor of your family if you are a husband, if you are a mother. And even if you are single, you are the one who is pastoring your own soul. Nobody influences you more than yourself. You should disciple yourself. You should shepherd your heart. As we read from the scriptures, we should worship God with joy and gladness. How can we make our worship so joyful this week? As the psalmist experienced, I think you can make an environment with the family where you get together and each one can share your goodness that you experience with God. You can share your experience with God. That will help others to motivate. And if you are single, you can talk to yourself. Talk to you how God has been good to you. And then that will encourage you in your worship life. And then when you joyfully submit to the Lordship of Christ, people will see. And then will ask, why are you so joyful? And then you will get a chance to worship. I remember growing up in a Christian family, as I said. My evangelist and my brother were Christians from young age. And then they are always laughing, happy. Not just laughing. They are joyful. I am always a guy who has problems. Always fights with the family and always with bitterness. And I see why these guys are so happy. And I understood now. There is joy in the Lord. That's not by God giving something of this world to you, but God giving himself to you. When you know that you have God, it is God who is your reward. Christ is enough for me. This is what you're going to say. Like Paul said. And you'll be a good evangelist. May God bless this sermon. Father, we come before you. And thank you so much for saving us and for giving us a joy of the Lord. And I pray for each one of us here, Lord, that we will focus on our hearts. We will focus on Christ, Father. I pray that we will read Bible, pray, so that we might know you, seek you, Father. I pray for each one here that they will have personal encounter with Christ. If they are struggling with joy, I pray that they will ask you, they will depend on you, Lord. I also pray that we will be evangelists who are worshippers, Father. I pray that we will joyfully, with gladness, evangelize, Father. I pray that we will not be hypocrites, but be an example to those whom we are leading in faith. I pray for myself and Cornerstone. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.